May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And suddenly, appearing to the shepherds, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all." Peace and goodwill toward all. The story of the shepherds receiving the news of the birth of Jesus from the angels is told only in Luke. And next week, we will have the joy of seeing our children and youth and young at heart portray this in our Christmas play as part of our service of lessons and carols. The message of the angel seems to tell us that with the arrival of the Savior, peace will also come. Peace would have been most welcome to those living in the time of Jesus. We have often referred to the violence and lack of social justice for those living under Roman occupation. And sadly today, we still contend with violence and a sorry lack of social justice in our world. When Jesus greets his disciples saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," he immediately adds, "I do not give to you as the world gives." So then, what is this peace that Jesus speaks of? How are we to understand this peace in the context of our faith and living out our baptismal calling? Scripture confronts us constantly with the word peace. And the word peace is peppered throughout our worship. We greet each other saying, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." We conclude services with blessings that are full of the mention of peace. "The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last." "May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." "May the peace of God enable us to do his will in every kind of goodness." And of course, "The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and grant us peace." And the Jesus whom we await is not only wonderful counselor, mighty God, and everlasting Father, but the Prince of Peace. It must therefore be an essential and intrinsic part of the message of Jesus and of God's hope for us. In our current worldview, much like those who lived in Jesus' time, we think of peace possibly as nonviolence, tranquility, serenity, calmness, being free from turbulence or disruption, even simply getting along with one another. Well, in Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. Most of us know that as a greeting. It's used like our hello and also as goodbye. Yet in Hebrew, it goes much, much deeper. True biblical shalom refers to an inward sense of completeness, wholeness, fullness. If you say shalom to someone, you are saying much more than hello or goodbye. You are saying, "May you be full of well-being. May you be in a state of wholeness, harmony, completeness, restoration." Now, in the beginning, going all the way back to Genesis, all creation was in a state of shalom, a state of wholeness and completeness. And this is the environment into which Adam and Eve entered. And whether one chooses to read the creation story literally or metaphorically, it still works. In this perfect shalom, our God, creator of all things, was in complete communion or oneness with his created beings, and they in him, in perfect and right relationship. And then it was lost. And God's creation was cast into a world of brokenness, of separation from God. And this broken world we live in today, with its violence, heartache, pain, and death, are the very visible results of the shalom that was lost so very long ago. But later in the Old Testament, before the time of Christ, prophecies pointed towards a future restoration of shalom. A wonderful promise was given in Isaiah, and prophetic words of hope emerged through this messianic prophecy that we remember each year at Christmas time. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. And after Jesus' time on earth, when the church was slowly spreading out beyond the Holy Land, and Jesus' message was being preached to Jew and Gentile alike, Paul understood shalom. Almost every letter that he wrote to the Christian communities around the Mediterranean began with, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Of all the ways Paul could have begun his letters, he chose to begin them with grace and peace. Of course, grace is at the heart of our faith. It's the summary of our faith. But then Paul uses peace. He's not hoping that his letters find them enjoying a nice, quiet, trouble-free day, that there's no strife or war going on. Paul is saying that he hopes that his letter finds them in a peaceful state of union, holy, fully, completely, permanently at one with God, being in right relationship with God, and of course, with one another. Peace, shalom, was required to establish the kingdom of God, beginning first in each believer and then spreading outward. For in the Hebrew understanding of shalom, when you are filled with it, it cannot be contained. It overflows and spills out from you and is given back or passed on to others. Maybe that's what the angel meant. And on earth, peace, goodwill to all. Today, as it was then, we who live in tumultuous, seemingly hopeless times also long for peace, for the hope of being in perfect shalom with God, and for the outpouring of shalom so that peace can reign throughout the earth. How is this possible, though, when we often feel stuck in exile, as many of us do right now during this pandemic, feeling disenfranchised, alone, grieving for the way things used to be, or grieving in anticipation of a very different Christmas experience this year? And maybe on top of that, also experiencing grief for a loved one we've lost through death or estrangement, for loss of employment, financial stability. The rug has been pulled out from under our feet, sometimes multiple rugs. And there are days when we may find ourselves at rock bottom, feeling utterly vulnerable, lost, alone, or emotionally or spiritually spent due to external forces, change, that affects our lives in ways we would not choose. External forces, the things of this world, things that can separate us from God, much as we may not want them to. And change lands us in a time of transition, what we sometimes call a liminal space, an in-between space. And in this liminal space, we sit between what was before and what is yet to come. We sit in a liminal space that bridges the life we knew, but no longer exists, and life as it will be. A liminal space that begins with an end and ends with a new beginning. For there will be a new beginning. COVID has thrust us into just such a space. The life we were used to is no more, and we are not yet at the point of what life will be after COVID. And other losses, like the loss of a partner or a child or dear friend, or loss of a job or financial stability, also thrust us into just such a space. And in this liminal space, in this transitional period, we do not feel at peace. The hurts and pain and grief of this world can prevent us from turning to God and receiving the gift of shalom. Advent reminds us that in the midst of all the things of this world that press upon us, restoration is possible. Through the grace of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding, Advent too is a kind of liminal space, one we relive each year in anticipation of the arrival of Jesus, whose coming was the event that separated for humankind the way things were from the way things were yet to be, were meant to be, for humankind to be in shalom with God, as we were at the beginning of creation. And this is the hope we celebrate in Advent. Hope, celebrated with our first Advent candle last week, is always about the future at the place of new beginning. But peace, the shalom celebrated with our second Advent candle today, that is available to us here, now. When we cannot change what is going on around us or what has happened to us, here, now, while we wait in hope for what will be, we can turn to our God who meets us wherever we may be and walks with us through our transitional time, through our liminal space, this temporary state of being, and who alone can give us shalom here, now. And God will accompany us as we move through this transitory space, and God will remain by our side as we step ahead into that time that will be. And God will welcome us into that new time and once again into new life with Him. Shalom.